I'm Maurice Powell. Welcome to A Little Light Music, Manx Radio's regular Thursday evening classical music hour. I'm going to start this evening's programme with an overture. It's by Mozart, and it's to his opera, his last opera, The Magic Flute. But not as we would normally hear it, played on the orchestra, of course. This is an arrangement for eight wind instruments of that overture, and a very fine arrangement it is too. Came about in this way. In the early 1780s, around 1782, the Emperor in Vienna, Joseph II, who was a great patron of Mozart, decided to form his own Imperial Harmonie, a harmonie being a small wind ensemble, in this case eight players. Their main job, because they were attached to the court in Vienna and paid for out of the court exchequer, was to provide music for entertainment at the grand balls, dinners, sort of in the gardens of the great palaces, wherever they were required. And they usually played arrangements for wind of the best tunes from the most popular operas and ballets. So on the light side, the eight players were simply the finest wind players in Vienna, which meant that they were amongst the finest wind players in Europe. Mozart knew them well. There was the oboists Triebensee and Heidenreich, and of course the Stadler brothers, the clarinet players, and it was for one of those brothers that Mozart later wrote his clarinet quintet and clarinet concerto. Mozart did write more serious wind pieces for this imperial wind group, but it's doubtful if they were ever taken into the repertoire. I say because Mozart's music was quite sophisticated, and these pieces that he wrote, two or three serenades, are quite challenging. Although he did write music specifically for them, it's unlikely any of his music was played, which is rather strange. Now, both the oboists, Heidenreich and Triebensee, earned money on the side by arranging operas and ballets for wind. And the arrangement of the Magic Flute Overture we're about to hear was done by Joseph Heidenreich, a very fine oboist, as I say, a member of this Imperial Wind Ensemble and a member of the orchestra, the Imperial Orchestra at the Burgtheater. So these players that were selected were amongst the highest paid musicians in Vienna. So here's a taste of the kind of repertoire that they used to play. Here's the overture then to Mozart's The Magic Flute.
Thank you.
the overture to Mozart's last opera, The Magic Flute, in an arrangement for wind players by Joseph Heidenreich. Now, Heidenreich did leave, I think, a diary and a few letters about his life, and he said that, in fact, arranging operas and such like for wind was incredibly difficult. Not only had you to incorporate the vocal lines, but also you had to sort of rearrange things for wind instruments that would normally be played by strings. And as you can hear there, the players were indeed incredibly skillful. Well, I think we've got time in this programme to hear one more short piece. Here's the first aria of Papageno, A Birdcatcher Am I, and in the same arrangement from Mozart's The Magic Flute. Papageno's aria from The Magic Flute, A Birdcatcher Am I, in an arrangement for wind instruments. Now, a vocal artist whom I admire greatly has never appeared in any of these programmes in more than 5 years. I'm ashamed to say it's Leslie Garrett. Doncaster-born, extremely accomplished across a very wide range of repertoire to sort of American songbook, popular songs almost, and of course opera. She did come to the island, I mean possibly more than once, but I remember one occasion, and it must be 15 years ago or so, and I had the privilege of playing in the orchestra for her concert here at the Villa Marina. Now, Leslie Garrett, I always thought of as an opera singer, but she kind of branched out and in the 1990s made a number of best-selling compilations of opera arias and much else as well. I remember one called Diva, and then Prima Donna, and Simple Gifts. Leslie Garrett was by no means a diva. She was thoroughly professional, very gracious, extremely professional, as I say, in rehearsal. She wasted not a second of time. She was very complimentary to the orchestra, praising the soloists when required, and it was an absolute pleasure to work with her. The evening concert was, of course, packed out at the Villa Marina, and I remember that she sort of linked her her different songs and arias together by talking to the audience, and she was a great communicator. The audience absolutely loved every word, and she spoke about her life, her dresses, and all sorts of things to do with her career. I always thought that she might stay with opera, but she branched out. And as I say, for a while, and probably now, is immensely popular. Here's the aria, Rejoice Greatly, from Handel's Messiah, sung by Leslie Garrett. The lovely voice of Leslie Garrett there singing Rejoice Greatly from Handel's Messiah. Every note, every run, every word crystal clear. Remarkable. We shall be hearing more from Leslie Garrett later on in the programme. And now for a bit of a lollipop. This is William Walton, the popular song from his Façade, which he wrote at the age of 21 when he was considered something of an enfant terrible of British music, a bit of an upstart, in other words. Nevertheless, he became a stalwart, really, an essential composer in the story of British music into the 1950s. Belshazzar's Feast, of course, a number of concertos, symphonies and other things as well. Façade is a bit an odd piece, really. It's an entertainment based on the abstract poems of Edith Sitwell. It's not heard very often today. I'm not sure how well it will go down. I always thought the words, although certainly offbeat, were very funny. I remember the line, Daisy and Lily, lazy and silly, and so on and so forth. But, of course, there was a suite of just instrumental pieces which Walton drew from the complete Façade. Façade will probably take, 45 minutes or so in complete performance. But I have seen the suite used as a ballet once at Sadler's Wells, which was very funny. And you do occasionally hear odd pieces, such as the popular song. The popular song from Walton's Façade. And now I think we need shaking out of our lethargy. Are we all getting a little bit too comfortable here? What we need is a stirring march. And of course, when it comes to stirring marches, we need look no further than Eric Coates. This is one which I don't think I've played before. It would take a while to get through them all. He did write rather a lot. But I seem to have missed this one out. This is the 8th Army March, written for the veterans of the 8th Army. Eric Coates, 8th Army March. Thank you. Eric Coates' 8th Army March. Coates' marches are actually rather too quick to actually march to, particularly that one. I can't imagine the troops marching to that across the North African desert. Hot and sweaty wouldn't even come close, would it? But a very fine march, as all Coates' marches are. And now we've reached a kind of a concerto spot in the programme, and I'm going to play two movements from a concerto that I'm pretty certain I've not played before. But before I do that, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to A Little Light Music with me, Maurice Powell, and you're very, very welcome indeed. What have you missed? Mozart, Handel, Walton, and a bit of Eric Coates there, but there's plenty more to come. So, the concerto in question is by Arthur Sullivan. Yes, he of Gilbert and Sullivan, but written long before he ever met Gilbert or wrote a single note of the Mikado or any other operetta. It was composed around 1866. As I say, before Sullivan had met Gilbert, before he was even Sir Arthur Sullivan. But he still had written a number of fine pieces, including a symphony, the Irish Symphony, and some incidental music to productions of Shakespeare's plays in London, which are very, very fine pieces indeed. Now, he happened to hear a cellist called Signor Alfredo Piatti in London, who was playing the Schumann cello concerto, and this inspired Sullivan to write Piatti a concerto, and in fact he dedicated this concerto to him. Unfortunately, it was not published, and much of it, most of the score, was destroyed in a fire, but some pieces, bits and pieces, including the solo part, did survive, and it's been very cleverly reconstructed by the conductor Charles McArris and David Mackie. It's a rather odd piece. You'd be forgiven for not recognising that it was Sullivan, but it's a very fine piece. I'm going to play the opening movement, which is almost like a kind of an introduction. It's quite short. And then the lovely Andante Espressivo. See what you think. An unusual piece by a composer that we think we know very well, but half of whose output is hardly played at all.
Thank you. Thank you.
two movements from Arthur Sullivan's little-known cello concerto. I think it's a rather lovely piece. I mean, it could exist as a standalone piece if some budding cellists would take it up. I can't see the whole work coming back into the repertoire. It's, as I say, it's rather oddly balanced. It has a short introductory movement, but I suspect that much of the first movement, the score, was, as I say, lost in a fire and obviously couldn't be reconstructed. Nevertheless, another view at, a composer who we think we know well, but we don't at all. Where to now? Something bustling, something tranquil. Anthony Hedges, Higham Sound. This was a reworking of a much earlier overture called Holiday Overture. Higham Sound is a much longer piece, more detailed, more nuanced, if you like, and it's a series of recollections, really, of a popular Norfolk Broads holiday venue. As I say, it's a mixture of sort of bustling and tranquil and peaceful. Composed in 1978, very attractive piece. Hope you like it.
Thank you.
Anthony Hedges, Higham Sound, Recollections of the Norfolk Broads from 1978. And now we've got to hear from Leslie Garrett again, as I promised. This is Simple Gifts, a traditional Shaker song, better known perhaps to us as the Lord of the Dance.
Tis the gift to be simple, tis the gift to be free, tis the gift to come down where you ought to be. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be in the valley of love and delight.
Leslie Garrett, Simple Gifts. We're nearly reached the end of the programme, but we've just got time, I think, for some Benjamin Britten. This is the Playful Pizzicato from his Simple Symphony, written when he was 20, but based on music he'd written 10 years earlier. Can you believe it? A delightful little piece, this. It's been used for adverts and all sorts of things. Very witty, very whimsical. Playful Pizzicato. playful pizzicato from Benjamin Britten's Simple Symphony, which is not, as you might imagine, that simple to play. So that brings us to the end of the programme. Just something to play us out. I hope you've enjoyed my selection and will join me next Thursday at 9 for some more music. What should we have? How about Vanity Fair, Anthony Collins. Goodbye.